A few weeks ago, we were talking to Jenna. She's been serving as a counselor at Camp Choye in close to Houston, Texas, Livingston, Texas. And we were, either Lisa or I, one, she was on speakerphone, asked her what something that she had learned while she was there that maybe she hadn't thought of before. And this is what she said, and it's had an effect on me, and I've been thinking about it for the last few weeks. She said that they taught her to think of herself as a spirit in a body instead of a body that has a spirit. So basically thinking about that the spirit is first, that your spiritual is first instead of your physical. And I've been thinking about that the last several weeks, and that's what I'm going to speak on today, talking about our spiritual health instead of just our physical health. I'm going to read several verses here. Before I get into this, I thought about some examples just to get us started about how much more important the spiritual is than the physical. Just this morning, our sister Catherine went to be with the Lord. Her body is still here, but her spirit's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you think there at the end of life, it's obvious that the spiritual is much more important. That's the thing that lives on. We know, won't get into this much, but we know that God's going to bring that body back up and give us a new body. But today we're focusing on the spirit. Her spirit is with the Lord. I think about my mom that's here this morning that's been battling breast cancer for the last several months and how she still is giving glory to God. That's not through her body. Her body's sick and she's going through a lot of stuff, but her spirit is still giving glory to God. We have a neighbor, and I've seen this, Dale Moore. They didn't know what was wrong with him. He got stiff as a board. He couldn't walk. We had to go over and pick him up a couple times. He just fell in the floor and he couldn't get up. And he was just bitter and thinking, why is this happening to me? They couldn't figure out what it was. They didn't know if it was Lyme's disease, if it was ALS or what. They finally determined it was ALS. The other day we saw him and he said his whole countenance was different. He just said, sometimes I wonder why. He said last night Beulah, his wife, went in and checked on something, and his sister, who the way he was saying it wasn't saved, was in there reading the Bible. So he was saying, maybe this is why I'm going through this. So he was thinking spiritual instead of physical. My cousin's son came in for 4-H camp this past week, and we had a devotion with him night before last. And it was amazing when you grow up in the church and you know the basic stories. Some of those he did not know, but you could just see his thirst for God's Word. He wanted a Bible, he wanted a devotion book, and he just said, thank you so much for this Bible, thank you so much for this devotion book. So I could see his spirit thirsting for God's Word. Then I think about Lisa's mom, Miss French, and the testimony that she's been and being able to forgive Jose for the death of her son Troy, and how her spirit is praying for the salvation of Jose. So I've just in my own life in the past few months, I've seen how the Lord has shown me that our spirit is what counts. Our spirit is what counts. All right, now we're going to look at some scripture to show this even more. Genesis 2:7. Some of these you may not be able to get to. Some of them I'll ask you to turn to, but some of them are just one verse here and there. Genesis 2:7. This is talking about spirit in the body. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So the body was formed by the dust, and then the spirit was given by the breath of God. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So our body will return to dust, the spirit will return to God who gave it, if we know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Luke 8:53 through 56. If you will, turn to that, Luke chapter 8. I'm just going to jump in. This is a story about Jairus' daughter that had died, and Jesus is coming and picking up in the story, chapter 8, verse 53. And they ridiculed him, Jesus, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. What I want to focus on here says, then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. Miss Kim, as most of y'all know, teaches the young ones, and she teaches something that I've remembered over the years. She's not that old. I wasn't in her class, but my kids were in her class. So she teaches that our body is a body house, that this is the house for the spirit, to let them know that we're more than just flesh and bones. We have a spirit living inside of us. And we can see here from Scripture that this little girl arose when her spirit returned. Genesis 3:19 says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Then 2 Corinthians 5:8, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So we see here in this scripture that we're more than just our body. Sometimes we get focused on looking at each other, focused on how somebody looks, and if we're healthy, if we're sick, things like that. We get so concerned about our physical. Today I want us to separate that and think about our spirits first. Think about our spiritual well-being. Okay, to show the other side of it, this is just a list that I could think of, that some of the things that we do physically. Now, I don't do all of these, so when we get to manicure and pedicure, I didn't do that part. But some of these things, there's nothing wrong with that, but these are just some of the things I thought of that myself or people do for our physical health. Some of us go for a yearly physical. We go for a yearly eye appointment, a yearly skin cancer check to a dermatologist, dental checkup. A lot of people go twice a year. Haircut, maybe even once a month. Recently, I've tried to lose weight, physically trying to lose some weight. In the morning, normally we shower and shave, brush our teeth and our hair, floss teeth, maybe even go to a nutritionist to see how to eat better, maybe have a personal trainer to motivate us to exercise more. One that our parents taught us, wash hands before you eat. This one I've heard a lot, and it's simple, but sometimes I don't even do this. Walk 30 minutes a day. Walk 30 minutes three, five times a week. Lift weights three times a week. Cancer screening tests. Checking your blood pressure. Doing blood work for your cholesterol, thyroid functioning, PSA. The reason I said thyroid function, my thyroid's not working exactly right, so I'm taking pills for it. So that one's one that just started. Manicure and pedicure. Maybe you get a massage to relieve stress. Chiropractor for back problems. I've heard this one. I used to think it was 64 ounces of water. Now I'm reading that you drink half your body weight in ounces of water. I've got a lot of water to drink. Eat five fruits and vegetables a day. Sunscreen or a hat when you go outside. Hand sanitizer when we go in and out of the hospital. Take your flu shot every year. Essential oils. Ear and eye protection when doing yard work. Wear your seatbelt. Eat an apple every day to keep the doctor away. 8 hours of sleep per night. Don't smoke. Don't drink alcohol or use drugs. Breathe deeply to relieve stress. I'm sure all of y'all could add many more. As you can see just from this list, we spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money on our physical health. There's nothing wrong with that. Our body was given to us by God, and we should be good stewards of it. But sometimes I think that we focus so much on the physical part, and we neglect the spiritual part. So that's our focus for today, is to spend a little bit more time on the spiritual part. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's see if we can get our focus a little bit more on the spiritual and not neglect the physical, but just focus a little bit more on the spiritual instead of just the physical. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they are? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you go about worrying about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Here it seems like they were focusing on the material things, the physical things, what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear, and neglecting the spiritual. And here Jesus is telling them that they need to focus more on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The other things will be added. Get our focus on the spiritual things. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. So it's saying here there's nothing wrong with bodily exercise, taking care of yourself. You can actually live longer, probably help people more. If you take care of yourself, you could probably be a better witness. So I'm not saying to neglect your body. But here it's saying godliness, spiritual growth is profitable for all things in this life and in the next. So sometimes I think we get too short-sighted. We think about 70 years, 70 years right here, and we focus on that, making sure we do the best we can here, which is what we should do. But sometimes we don't think about eternity. This is just like a drop in the bucket, and we're so focused about our physical. And maybe sometimes we don't spend as much time as we should on the spiritual part of us. Okay, so we saw in 1 Timothy, shows that spiritual exercise is more important than physical exercise because it is profitable for this life and the next. Our body will go back to dust, but our spirit will last forever. Okay, now, we had a long list of physical things we do. The spiritual, I'm just going to focus on four foundational things that we should do. This is a very familiar to you. Acts 2:42 says, and they, this is the early church, the New Testament believers, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, God's word, teaching, fellowship, coming together, building each other up, in the breaking of bread, remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like we had the opportunity this morning, and in prayers. So the four things that I want us to focus on spiritually to make us stronger spiritually: read God's word, pray, worship, and fellowship. Those are the four things that I want to focus on this morning. And there's many more things. I thought about One thing that I think can help you spiritually, and it would be in God's Word, so there's like 1,000 things I could have said this morning, but having a forgiven spirit when somebody hurts you, having that forgiven spirit is one, I think, of the biggest things. Realize how much you've been forgiven, and then it's easier for you to forgive others. That's one thing that I've noticed that can help your spirit, help you spiritually, if you have a forgiven spirit. But today we're going to focus on first reading God's Word. If you will, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Our focus here is God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit. God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit. They said one time to the Lord, "Don't you need to eat?" And He said, "I've got food that you're not aware of." It talks about in the Scripture about food when you're first saved, that it's like milk, like a newborn babe needs milk. And then you go on to eat more solid food later. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So here we see the Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof when we mess up, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, how to go about living our lives in a Christian way, the way He wants us to. So this is a way we can become stronger spiritually, is spending time daily in God's Word. Most of us don't miss a meal. I haven't missed a meal in a while. Have 3 meals a day normally. Sometimes we may miss the most important meal is diving into God's Word. Psalms 119:11, "Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." 119:105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now the Word can help you here, as we can see. It can help you in your physical walk. When you're strong spiritually, it can lead and guide you. It's a lamp, it's a light, tells you where to go, where not to go, and how to lead you through that. Now, one thing that I'm not going to mention because that's not my focus today, but we know that we can only do anything through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that works with our spirit to make us more like Christ. But today's focus is how to strengthen our spirit. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly to give you wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it be a big part of your life. It's very important to you. It's rich to you. And you spend time in His Word. If you will, please turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to see here how important Scripture is. If our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ used Scripture while He was here on earth, this is the temptation from the devil, how much more so do we need to depend on God's Word, have it in our heart, be strong spiritually through having God's Word in our heart. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, He was hungry." So we can see here, Jesus' priority was not physical. He had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. "Now when the tempter came and said to Him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But He answered and said, 'It was written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took Him up to the holy city, set Him on a pinnacle of the temple, said to Him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus sets an example here of how important the spiritual is over the physical. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was being tempted. And what did his rebuttal come to the devil? He used the written scripture. He knew the scripture. We know that he was God, that he couldn't sin, wouldn't sin. But it was an example, I believe, to us how we should have that scripture in our heart where we can go through life when we're tempted. We can stand up because our spirits are strong in the Word. So the first thing that I wanted to focus on was being strong in God's Word, spending time daily in His Word, strengthen our spirit where when we come across times of trial, tribulation, sickness, hurt, relationships, that we have that Word that will give us the strength to get through that and give honor and glory to God. God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit. God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit. Second thing I want to look at as far as growing spiritually is prayer. I want to focus this time on talking to God, the one who created your spirit. We saw back in Genesis how He formed us out of the dust, but then He breathed life into us. He breathed the spirit. Formed in His image or created in His image, and we have that spirit. So the one who created us, He knows us better than anybody else. We should be talking to Him. We should be spending time getting to know Him better. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And when you first read that, you say, "Well, how am I going to do that? I've got to go to work, or I've got to teach, whatever you've got to do. How am I going to do that?" But I believe here it's a attitude of prayer. When something comes up, when you have a difficulty, you're having something maybe at school, a student's not doing, just have, "Dear Lord, help me through this. Help me to keep my testimony through this situation." So it's like you're relying on God throughout the day, and you just say a quiet prayer, not just at mealtime, not just in the morning or at night, but throughout the day, you're praying and asking Him for help. Give you strength. "Dear Lord, help me." 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Here we're being exhorted to pray for others, cry out to God, make intercessions for others. As our brother Ned reminds us often, to pray for our country, as we know our country is going away from God, and that we need to fall on our face as a country and ask for forgiveness and go back to Him. So we know that prayer is something that God wants, is something that will strengthen us when we talk to Him. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." One thing I see here, and just seeing how, especially with that our neighbor, how he was so bitter about what he was going through, and then people praying for him, his spirit changed, and how he's accepted it, his lot in life, and saying, "I'm not sure what this is for. Maybe it's for my sister. She was in there reading the Bible." And he said, "I've just come to accept it." So his spirit has changed. I know that's through God's Spirit, people praying for him, that he's able to do that. It's just a whole different countenance on his face when you talk to him. Luke 5:15 and 16 say, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." So we see here what they're thinking about, to be healed by him of their infirmities. They were sick, diseased, hurt. And then in verse 16 it says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, He did heal. He healed a lot of people, physical ailments. But we see here that He took time out. He often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. If our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's Son, took time out from His busy schedule to get alone and to pray to His Father, how much more so do we need to do that? To take time out and get away by ourselves and just talk to God. Very important. If you will, please turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. This is a perfect example here of one who prayed to God to help him. Sometimes it's hard to understand Jesus the Son praying to God the Father, because He was God, but His human part, He was submitting to His spiritual part. So He's here and He's asking His disciples to pray, and we'll see what happens here. Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came to them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Okay, so He went to pray and came back and found them sleeping. That's physical. They were focused on being tired. And said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time He went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." He came back and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So He left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then He came back to His disciples and said to them, "Are ye still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand." So we see a perfect example here of one focused on spiritual, several focused on physical. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross for us, and He was submitting His flesh, His earthly being, to God the Father, to His spiritual, and submitting to God's will, that He would be able to go through with it. And we know that He did go through, and He won the victory on Calvary's cross for us. So thankful for that. We see Peter, James, and John on the other hand. For an hour He goes and prays. Jesus comes back. Peter and James and John are sleeping, falling asleep. Their physical took over their spiritual. And I'm afraid that happens to me more often than it should. Maybe happen to you, where we're more concerned about our physical, our rest, our food, drink, whatever the case is, instead of our spiritual. We know what happened to Peter. He denied his Lord and Savior. And I think we can point back to this. His failure to pray is one of the reasons that he submitted to that denial. Okay, so we looked at reading God's Word. God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit. That's the way you can have a strong spirit, to read His Word and obey it. Second, we looked at prayer. Talking to God, the one who created your spirit. So God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit, and then we talk to the one who created our spirit. He can help us. He knows us better than anybody else. Okay, the third one I'd like to focus on is worship. Remember the one who created and gave His life for our spirit. Remember the one who created our spirit and gave His life for our spirit. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity, like we did this morning, to come and remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to thank Him for what He's done for us. This, and you say, well, this is for God. Worship is for God, thanking Him, thanking His Son. That's true, but I've heard more than one brother say how much they take from it, how much they get out of the service. Even though it's for God, hearing that gives us strength when we worship our Lord and Savior. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." He is worthy of our worship. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 through 9, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." We have the opportunity to come on Sunday morning at the first service and to praise him who called us out of darkness to the marvelous light. What kind of strength does that give our spirit when we are given glory to the one that deserves glory? That gives us strength because we're given glory to the one who deserves it. We're not trying to take glory for ourselves. That doesn't give lasting happiness and joy. But giving praise and honor to the one who deserves it, putting him in his rightful place, that is what we were made to do. And that gives us strength. John 4:23 says, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." That's what he's seeking, people that will worship and give glory to him, to his Son. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" This was a command that our Lord and Savior gave us when he was leaving, the last command, that we would remember him. We would remember him. And just think about your life with not thinking about, not remembering the Lord and what he's done for us. I think it was obviously the wisdom of God that set up this remembrance feast, where we can feast on him, we can remember him, thank him for what he's done, keep him first place. And we're not coming to, like we said this morning, some building or some man. We're coming to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to remember him. What strength that gives us when we know, our spirit knows, that's what we should be doing. Our brother Jerry read this, so I'm going to shorten this a little bit. I was going to read all of it. Revelation chapter 5. He read some of these same verses, but I'll just pick up in verse 11. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." I've heard this said before, and it bears repeating, that we are practicing what we're going to do for eternity. When we come to the Lord's Supper and we're remembering him, we're practicing, and we're going to do it. And sometimes here, we may have distractions or things, but when we get to heaven, get to the other side, we'll do it perfectly. We'll be giving him honor and glory and praise that he deserves. How wonderful that day is going to be when we get there. And our sister Catherine is there today. When we can do it, we don't have to worry about sickness and ailments and things like that. We just can completely focus on Christ. Okay, so we've looked at God's Word. God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit. So it's important to read God's Word, read the Bible. Number two, it's important to talk to God, the one who created your spirit, the one who loved you. So read God's Word, read the Bible, pray, talk to God throughout the day, ask Him to help you. Pray for other people. Number three, worship. Remember the one who created and gave His life for our spirit. Remember Him. We have the worship service Sunday morning, 9:15, where we're commanded to do that. We can also do that throughout the week by the way we live our life, by thanking God throughout the week for His Son. Have a heart of worship, thankfulness, just appreciative of what He's done for us. The last one that I want to look up, and that's the one that we're going to have a fellowship time here in a minute, is building up each other's spirit in the faith, building each other up. We're here to build each other up, to encourage people, to pray for each other, not to tear each other down, but to encourage one another in the faith. And that's what fellowship is talking about. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we need to come together. We're not, God didn't call us to be a Christian and then just stay at home by ourselves. We need one another. We need each other to build each other up. I need you when I'm hurting, to come alongside and to pray for me. Maybe you need me when you're hurting, you're going through a tough time. We need each other. Our brother John needed us this morning. Two of our brothers went out to visit with him. We need each other. We're in communion, working together. And that each other, we can give each other strength through fellowship. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We know when two or three gather together, it's a small crowd or a large crowd. If we come together to meet with Him, He's there with us. That gives us strength. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. We come together to edify, to build each other up, to give glory to God, not for glory for ourselves, but to give glory to God. Ephesians 4:29-32. This is the one that Ms. Ray taught me in Bible class about 40 years ago. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There's that Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do the things that I'm talking about today. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's the verse that she taught us. I'm not going to sing it to you. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. How much strength we can give to one another. Build each other's spirit up by being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, just like Christ forgave us. So we can see the many physical things that we do just on a daily basis, a lot of them without even thinking. And sometimes those are good things, there's nothing wrong with them, but let's try to think, get our priority on the spiritual instead of the physical. Put spiritual things first. Just to recap, read God's Word. God's Word is the food that will strengthen our spirit. Every day we need to eat off of His Word, take in His Word, and get strength from that. Strengthen our spirit through God's Word. Pray. Talk to God, the one who created your spirit. He knows you. If you've created something, if you're able to build a robot or something, you know it better than anybody else. You created it. You know what it needs. Same thing with God. He made us. He knows what we need. He knows what our spirit needs. Take time to talk to Him throughout the day. Call out to Him. He wants to hear us call out to Him. If you've got a child, a little boy, a little girl, and they've fallen or hurt or something, and they call out and say, "Help me, Daddy," you know you're going to help them. You want to do that. That's a privilege to help them. That's what God wants to do. He wants to help us. Worship. Remember the one who created and gave his life for our spirit. Remember the one who created and gave his life for our spirit. What a privilege we have to worship and thank him for what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. Fellowship. What we're here together today to do, as far as afterwards when we talk and build each other up, we're here to build up each other's spirit in the faith. We're to encourage each other to go on in the faith. You've fallen down, you made a mistake, ask for forgiveness, get back up and keep on the road, keep moving, keep going toward the day, toward salvation in Jesus Christ. We have that salvation, and then when somebody stumbles, we still have it, but we want to reconnect with that fellowship with God. Let's encourage each other, not be so judgmental, but try to encourage them, bring them back along, help out. You made a mistake, that's okay. Take them by the shoulder and help them on. So build up each other's spirit in the faith. Read God's word, pray, worship, and fellowship. May our spirits be stronger because of his word, talking to him, worshiping him, and fellowshipping together. Let's pray. Our Father, please help us to exercise spiritually by reading your word, talking to you through prayer, worshiping you and your Son who gave his life for us, and fellowshipping and building each other up in the faith. We also would like to thank you for the food that you provided, the hands that prepared it. And we just thank you for most of all for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.